Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Sanhedrin Daf Dalet, Sanhedrin 4a, pagination is 7. And we're dealing with a very important classic discussion regarding Torah in cases where the way it's written in the Torah is different than the way it's pronounced. So the way it's pronounced, the word, a letter, something is a discrepancy between the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. Certainly the way it's pronounced is the real reading. That's our tradition, that we're supposed to be reading it that way. That's the way it was presented by Moshe from Hashem. And certainly the way it's read is the significant concept. However, for some reason, Hashem told Moshe, instructed him, to write it in an unusual way. We have a Mesorah, a tradition that it should be written in an unusual way. And the question which our Gemara explores is, how do you weight the importance of the way it's read, which was the overall tradition of the Jewish people, and this special tradition to write the word with a certain discrepancy, so to speak? One of the best examples I like to share is in Parshas Bahar, where the Pasuk describing a certain law of a city that has a wall writes it Asher Lo Choma, that it wall. The word Lo, it has a wall or it doesn't have a wall, depends on how the word lo is written. If it's written with a vav, asher lo choma, it would mean it has a wall. And that's the kri. That's our tradition. It has to have a wall. However, there's a discrepancy. It's written in a different way. It's written with an aleph, which means no. Asher lo choma, it does not have a wall. That's really like slamming us in the face with an indication that there's a double meaning over here. And indeed, Rashi tells us, based on the Gemara, that it's talking about a case, afapi she'ein lo achshav, even if it doesn't have a wall now, however vahosa lo kodem lochein, because it used to have a wall, it would qualify as a walled city. And therefore, the Pasuk says so beautifully, asher lo choma, that it has a wall, and it's written with the aleph to purposely include a city that looks like it doesn't have a wall, and only upon investigation you realize that halachically it's considered that it has a wall, because it had a wall. Again, asher lo choma, it has a wall, but it's written to remind you about a special halacha that it doesn't have a wall, because right now it could be that the city we're talking about does not look like it has a wall, and it's still included in this law. And that's the approach of double meaning when we have a kri and a ksiv, the way it's read. That's certainly the basic tradition that we have, but we have this additional tradition to make sure that it's written in a certain way, presumably to remind us of something, to teach us something. You have an example at the top of our Amud, Yarshi'un ksiv, that even though the word is Yarshi'un, they will find guilty, but it says Yarshi'un without a letter. There's a vav missing, and that indicates to us that something is up over here. Something's going on. According to the Gemara at the bottom of the previous Amud Beis, it's telling you that you don't need as many dayanim, judges, as you might have thought. It's teaching you that you only need 3 by giving it the wording chaser without a letter. Another example, counting up from the bottom, about 15 lines. Shtayim at the end of the line. Shtayim kihilchason. two walls of a sukkah have to be kosher walls, full walls. Ushlishis afilu tefach, the third wall, even if it's just a tefach, a small, a hand breadth, doesn't have to be a full wall. In halacha, we discuss where that tefach has to be configured and positioned, but that's the idea that a sukkah really only needs three walls, and two of them for real, and the third with a little bit of a trick, how you position it. Reb Shimon omer, shalosh kelchos, and revias afilu tefach. Reb Shimon says, no, three have to be true walls, and the fourth is the one that we find the leniency upon. But Maikom Iflegi, what are they arguing about? And the Gemara presents a suggestion. Rabbanan savre yesh eim lemesores. The Rabbanan hold that there's a lot of emphasis placed on this unique tradition that you write it without a letter. And the word sukkos can be written full or in a diminished form without a vav. Rav Shimon savar yeshem lemikra, and Rav Shimon holds, no, we follow the way it's read. That's the primary message that Hashem gave us through Moshe. And if you want to know why there's a missing letter, we'll discuss it in some other forum. But that's not the primary way that we understand psukim. And the Gemara explains. Rabbanan savar yeshem lemesores. The Rabbanan hold that the primary nuance over here is that tradition to write it without a letter. Basukas, basukas, basukos. The word basukos is first written twice, as the Gemara presents it, without a vav, and then, look carefully at the spelling in the text, with the vav. Harekan arba. So the first two seem to be singular, so that's one each, and then basukos is plural, that's two, so one plus one plus two is a total of four, informing you how many walls there should be in a sukkah to make it a sukkah. Dalchad kra legufei, one of those gets removed because the Torah had to say the word in order to present what the item we're talking about, but pashalu tlas, remaining is still three. Asa yuchasa garata l'shlishis, when the halacha l'moshe misine that we have that tells us that the last wall can be a little bit more lenient, that's going to end up be talking about the third wall, because there are only three walls to begin with, and that's why v'ukamta atefach, the third wall, is the one that we have the leniency regarding. Rab Shimon Savar, on the other hand, Rab Shimon says, no, the way it's pronounced. Why is it written in an unusual way? We'll discuss that in a different forum. Maybe in the Zohar we'll discuss it. I don't know. But in basic understanding of Torah and mitzvahs, we just follow the way we have the basic tradition of Mikra, of the way it's read. That's the message. That's the way it was articulated. And as far as that goes, basukos, basukos, basukos. They're all pronounced basukos. Harei kan sheish. You end up with six, because three times, and they're all plural. Minimum of plural is two. Dalchad kra legufei. One of them has to be removed, because the Torah was presenting basukos. So pashalu arba. You're still left with the remaining two words, and each of them are doubled. That's a total of four. Asa yochas agarata l'rivias, the halacha l'moshe misina that the last wall can be more lenient is going to apply to the fourth wall. V'ukmei atefach, and that's why Reb Shimon holds that you need three walls plus a little bit, whereas the psak of the Rabbanon, which is what we follow, is two walls and then a little bit. So this is the concept of yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesores. Certainly both are true. It's articulated one way, it's written a different way. But when you darshan the psukim for purposes of mitzvahs, do you emphasize the way it's presented, or do you emphasize, hey, it's written differently, obviously, to teach me something, and that something could impact a mitzvah in a very significant way? On the bottom line, the Gemara presents that everybody has to place significant importance to the way it's articulated, because there actually are psukim that would be very misleading if you didn't have the articulation as a binding factor. Maskalva Rav Acha bar Yaakov Miika de Lesla Yeshem Lemikra. Is there anybody who doesn't hold that the way it's pronounced is what's meant? Ve'atanya, we all know, the Pasuk says, Bachalev Imo, that a kid, a child of a goat should not, that a goat should not be boiled in its mother's milk. Yachol Bechelev. How do you know that it doesn't mean in the fat of its mother? If you just adjust the pronunciation, the nekudos and the mesoras is to write it without nekudos, without indication of how exactly to pronounce it. Amrit, it must absolutely be Yeshem Lemikra, that the way we have a tradition to pronounce it is what's binding. The Chulei Amo Yeshem Lemikra, everybody agrees, the way we pronounce it, that's the way it's binding. If you'll drop down to the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara reinstates the possibility that that's not really a proof, and we could still go Yeshem LeMesoris, Yeshem LeMikra, and still have a very solid reason how we knew that the goat in its mother's milk is the mother's milk and not the mother's fat. Three lines up, Ella Amar Rav Acha Berei D'Ravika Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Lo Sevashal Gidi, you should not cook the kid, not to cook the goat. Derech bishul asra Torah, it's talking about bishul, about boiling it, about cooking it. And if it was talking about fat, that would be tigun, that would be frying. That's a different thing. And that's how we could very well know that it's talking about milk, because it's got to be something which cooking would be relevant to. But again, for our purposes, to be aware that the discrepancy between the way it's pronounced, which is the tradition of Torah, and the special tradition that it should be written differently, despite the way it's pronounced, it's going to be written in a certain way, is something which the Gemara addresses. In many, many cases, we actually have the resolution, the inference, what it is that the Torah was teaching us, and even in the other cases where we may not know what was being hinted at, we're confident that there is obviously a reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his gift of Torah to us, purposely said to pronounce it and understand it one way, but somehow some hint in the way it is written. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.